The Lord be with you.
And
read it from the Holy Gospel according to Matthew. Jesus again, in reply, spoke to the chief priests and the elders of the people in parables, saying, "The kingdom of heaven may be likened to a king who gave a wedding feast for his son. He dispatched his servants to summon the invited guests to the feast, but they refused to come. A second time he sent other servants, saying, 'Tell those invited, behold, I have prepared my banquet. My calves and fattened cattle are killed, and everything is ready. Come to the feast.' Some ignored the invitation and went away, one to his farm, another to his business. The rest laid hold of his servants, mistreated them, and killed them. The king was enraged and sent his troops, destroyed those murderers, and burned their city. Then the king said to his servants, 'The feast is ready, but those who invited were not worthy to come. Go out, therefore, into the main roads, and invite to the feast whomever you find.' The servants went out into the streets and gathered all they found, bad and good alike. And the hall was filled with guests. But when the king came in to meet the guests, he saw a man there not dressed in a wedding garment. He said to them, 'My friend, how is it that you came in here without a wedding garment?' But he was reduced to silence. Then the king said to his attendants, 'Bind his hands and feet and cast him into the darkness outside, where there will be wailing and grinding of teeth. Many are invited, but few are chosen.'" The Gospel of the Lord. The parable can be interpreted in many ways. One interpretation would be the following, that the king is Jesus Christ, our high priest, and the servants that he sends out are the prophets, as well as the priests, as well as lay people. Now the wedding feast can be interpreted in various ways. The wedding feast can be interpreted as the feast that we're celebrating now, which is the Mass. The Mass. Then the interpretation also after the Mass would be the wedding feast also is heaven. So there's an interpretation of the parable today. Now, you would think if a king is inviting someone to a banquet free of charge, a free meal, no? And a good meal, a king has a lot of money, you would think that anyone with any common sense would rush into the banquet hall to have a free meal. I think that's common sense, no? It's not going to be a pauper's meal, but go imagine the best restaurant you've ever gone to, five times better. Only a dummy would say no. Honestly, no? But not only did they say no, but they actually beat up those who were sent and killed some of them. So it's really horrendous, the reaction of these people. Okay, let's see if we can apply this to Mass as well as heaven. 1966, when I was 10 years old, probably 85% of Catholics went to Mass on Sunday. Maybe more. I was brought up and raised in New York, and I don't remember any of my Catholic friends ever missing Mass on Sunday. I don't remember any. Well, now you probably have about 20%, maybe 25% of Catholics who go to Mass on Sunday. What happened? What happened? You got the churches packed two generations ago, and people are jumping out of the church like the Titanic, like rats jumping out of a sinking ship. If you like the image, no? Whatever happened? I think you got to pray over this. And the king is still sending priests, deacons, lay people to try to bring people into the feast. But honestly, I think we have to pray over this. Why is it that so many Catholics no longer come to the feast? How many of you have any relatives, Catholics, that no longer practice the faith? Okay, how many of your relatives, how many of you would say that more than 50% of your relatives no longer practice the faith? Okay, it's almost all of you. What happened? I think we really have to pray over this. And not just sit on our hands and play tic-tac-toe and say, well, that's the world in which we live. Because a lot of souls are at risk. I'll give you three reasons why I think, and then three things that we can do to try to remedy the situation. Number one is this. I think that catechesis over the past 50 years has been calamitous, catastrophic, disastrous. I think that that's one of the primary reasons is that catechism after Vatican II, ad experimentum, has been basically a joke, no? In which it all depends on feelings. Fulton Sheen, who some of you have heard of, maybe even read some of his books, he says that the world can be divided into three stages of history. The age of faith, the age of reason, and the age of feelings. Well said. Would you agree with Sheen? The age of faith, right? Thomas Aquinas. It's called the scholastic period, the 1200s. The age of reason, right? Voltaire, the Enlightenment, right? 18th century. And starting with last century, basically with the 60s, everything depends upon feelings. When I was a kid, it would be, what do you think about this? Now it is, how do you feel about it? And to gauge our spiritual life upon feelings is very dangerous. Very dangerous. That's why he's giving you people the spiritual exercises. You don't pray only when you feel like it. That's crazy. You pray even when you don't feel like it. That's true love. So I think catechism as a whole has to be revamped. It really has to be. Second point is this, related to catechesis, is in general, throughout the country and throughout the world, there are different groups of individuals that have to be catechized. Children, First Communion, teenagers, the confirmation. And most parishes dedicate time and energy to catechizing children as well as teenagers. But what about the adults? There's been a huge negligence throughout the world in forming the adults. That, I really believe, is one of the reasons why many adults are leaving the church, because they do not take seriously permanent formation. And I'd like to give by means of an analogy. Any professional has to constantly be in a process of permanent formation. Teachers, lawyers, nurses, doctors, engineers. Constantly they have to keep studying and renewing themselves. Years ago, I remember I was visiting my brother, who's a doctor, he's 61. He had to pass another test. He was a graduate from Dartmouth, summa cum laude, Columbia Medical School, you know, the best in the country, no? Why on earth would he have to take another test? Wouldn't you think he knows enough? Uh-uh, not for the medical board. So shouldn't we be professional Catholics? Shouldn't we be professional Catholics? What do you think? So that's the second reason. And the third reason is this. Once there was an African pastor that came to the United States to visit an American pastor. And the American pastor said, what do you think is one of the biggest obstacles in the United States for the practice of religion? And he said, in the United States, there are too many distractions. How many distractions are out there today? The internet, the TV, the radio, and sports. Barnum and Bailey three-ring circus has arrived at California, huh? So many different diversions we have here. So let's end now and ask ourselves, what can we do? What can we do? First, I would invite all of you to pray fervently today and place all of your relatives here. Place all your relatives on the altar, that they'll come back. Prayer is of the essence. Second is this. If you meet any lapsed Catholic, try to sit down and explain to him John chapter 6. I think if you sit down and explain John chapter 6, you explain it well, you don't have to be a theologian. I think that that's the most powerful passage to bring people back to the church. What is John chapter 6? Some of you are going to say it's the one that follows John chapter 5. Okay. I knew that, okay? It is the bread of life discourse. You can really explain to them. I think the principal reason why Catholics leave the faith because they no longer believe in the Eucharist. Ask a lot of Catholics. I think if you were to ask 10 Catholics what the Eucharist is, I think only 25% of them would get it right. This is called a Catholic identity crisis. That's what it is. It's a Catholic identity crisis. It's like if I go to play baseball and I go up to hit without a baseball bat. Come on! I'm going to hit the ball with my pinky? Hit the ball with my pinky? No, you got to use a baseball bat. We have to know that the center of the Catholic faith is the Eucharist. So explain John chapter 6. Every Eucharist, Jesus comes He is the Son of the living God. And the thing is, it's free of charge, it's gratis. You don't have to come for any money to this Mass. So you have to try to be Eucharistic catechists. Explain to people what the Eucharist is. The third thing I would encourage you to do is maybe buy 10 movies called Il Gran Milagro, The Greatest Miracle, and maybe give them out. I really believe that that is one of the best movies I've ever seen on the Holy Sacrifice of the Mass, which explains in graphic detail every different part of the Holy Sacrifice of the Mass. So, the king has the banquet prepared. It's all ready. And you're the servants. So am I. Let's go out into the streets, into the byroads, into the alleys of our world and try to bring people back to the church. Pope Francis is very strong on preaching that we have to be missionaries. You are called to be a missionary. And as Fulton Sheen says, the first thing that Jesus said was, come. Come to Jesus Christ. And his last words were, go. First come, and then go. Amen.